Welcome everyone to the fearshop.com horror podcast. Today is July 3rd, 2020. I am Mike, and with me is Xavier.
Hello.
Alright, we got a good show coming up for you guys. We're going to review two movies. We have 2020's You Should Have Left and 1987's Hellraiser. So we got a lot to talk about. You want to get in touch with us? You can do it through the website at fearshop.com. You can leave us a voicemail at 215-798-0190. Emails at podcast@fearshop.com. Making sure you're checking out the YouTube channel at /fearshop.com as well. And of course, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. You can find us just simple by searching. Make sure you're subscribing through your podcast player of choice, and we always love hearing feedback on the episode, so make sure you leave us a review at Apple Podcasts and all the other players that allow them. Speaking of feedback, we have one from our buddy Kyle. Good day, gentlemen, and happy 4th of July from your friend all the way up here in Canada. I want to thank you both for the concern last episode regarding the possibility of my listening to the show with her. Thankfully, I planned ahead and only threw on the newest one once she vacated the vehicle. I did get a good laugh out of that though, so thanks for that. Checked out a handful of movies over the past weekend, and one I suggest you check out, as was the funny thing yesterday, was the shark movie Bait. It was a hell of a lot better than it had any right being. You can find it for free on Tubi TV. On that note, one film I would suggest you avoid at all costs is Don't Look, also on Tubi in case you wanted to torture yourselves. It starts out decently, but shit really gets horrible once the kills start taking place. That's when some of the worst acting I've ever seen starts coming into play. Thanks again for the great work you do, and I'll try to best my call next. I swear I know English. Thanks again for the great work you do, and I'll try my best to call in next week to save Mike from having to read my long-winded emails each show. Take care. Thanks, Kyle. Definitely appreciate it. Not long-winded, except for when I stutter all over the place. It was a coincidental thing that happened with that movie, Bait, because I was going through the apps on the TV the night of the email. Was that yesterday or a couple nights ago?
I think it was two nights
ago. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, I never check out Tubi. So let me check out Tubi. And then, like, a few movies down was Bait. So I was like, ah, it's been a while. So I popped it on, started watching it, opened up the laptop, download the email that had that, and I was like, wow, that's like crazy coincidental. But yeah, it was an interesting movie. Bait's definitely an interesting one. I remember having watched it before, but having watched it the other night, it almost felt like I barely remembered nothing. I do remember the part with the car park, but I don't remember much else, which was kind of weird. Sort of an interesting movie. I don't know how much you were paying attention.
I was paying attention. It wasn't bad. Mm. I think it was a different spin on the shark movie. With, like, the tsunami and the all that stuff.
Oh, no. Yeah, those atrocities. I've seen all the Sharknado movies and the million bad spin-offs from them. Did you ever see any of the Sharknados?
No, I avoided them at all costs.
Yeah, I don't know. Some people use that stupid phrase that I hate, like, they're so bad that they're good. It's just one of those things, I guess you just watch it, and it's not, like, horrendous, but, you know, what did they have, five or something? It was, like, something stupid.
Dude, I thought it was seven. I think they got the seven.
I don't think they got the seven. Mm-hmm. I think it was five, and then they're like, yeah, we milked this one for all we could. And it's not even that, like, the people that are in those movies are, like, the one girl is from TV shows from the 80s or 90s, and I think pretty much hasn't done anything since.
Yeah.
The guy, I think, was pretty much in the same boat, too. I just don't remember if he had done anything. They were still, like, okay, but it's like when you get all the other ones, like, Shark versus Octopolis, or it's just there were some like really bad ones that I can't believe I'm saying really bad ones as in Sharknado being a good one, but yeah, I think of like the shark ones. I, you know, obviously your favorite Jaws, but they're actually shark movies. I'm trying to, I know there's been some good ones recently, I can't remember what the hell they were.
The 47 Meters Down.
Was that shark? Yeah, I guess that was sharks, yeah.
So, The Shallows.
Yeah, I barely remember The Shallows. I don't remember liking it too much, I think.
It was a weird one, but it was a shark one.
I think of, like, you know, Piranha, and there was a couple of those movies.
Are they releasing a new Piranha movie?
I don't think so. I think they were. I know a few years ago they said they wanted to do another reboot of the series, which was kind of weird. Like, so the original movie was pretty good. Then the first remake was actually, it was interesting. It wasn't horrible, but really they just tried to basically make a whole, it was just like women in bathing suits. And that was like the premise of the movie. And that's kind of, they basically just put in like a lot of like the hotter girls at that time. And like, that was their movie, but it wasn't a horrible movie by any means. Then if I remember correctly, there was a sequel, that was like, not that good, but yeah, I'm trying to think of most of the movies I've seen recently have all been like creatures of different kinds. But I was trying to think, The Reef, was that a shark? Open Water was a shark, I'm pretty sure. I can't remember. I can't believe I'm skipping on some of these, but yeah, it was kind of weird too because I think the bait was more it was shark and like natural disaster type stuff. So it was a little play. All I can say about that movie is there's a lot going on in that movie. There's so many subplots and everything.
Yeah.
And it's I didn't remember when I had watched the movie. I can't remember his name now for the life of me. I think of him as Dr. Doom. But
is he in that?
Yeah, Dr. Doom from both of the Fantastic Four movies, yeah. The guy who was the criminal. That,
is that him?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, that was Dr. Doom. I know he's been in a million other movies since, and people hate all the Fantastic Four movies. So, that's, they'll probably yell at me for saying, really, of all the movies he's been in, you pick that? All right. So, that's our feedback for this episode. We had also asked folks to send in their top Nightmare on Elm Street films. So we got a few people got back to us on that. We have Anthony. Hey guys, my top 5 Nightmare on Elm Street movies. Binged the box set this week as it's a while since I've watched them apart from the original, which is a regular watch. And same thing, I gotta find where we have that box set because I've been itching to watch them and they're nowhere. All right, we'll go backwards. Part 5, I hate doing this. Number 5 is Part 4, Dream Master. More or less a rehash of 3, but still decent. I'd squeeze the Dream Child in here as they're pretty close. Number 4 is Part 3, Dream Warriors. Great gory effects and Return of Nancy 2. My only complaint is how in the hell did they decide the girl with her head in the TV was a suicide? Yeah, you ain't kidding. All right, wait, hold on. Something's wonky here. Oh, there it is. It was just formatted weird. Number 3 was New Nightmare. Great twist on the movie within a movie idea. Very dark again, and an evil-looking Freddy. Number 2 is Freddy vs. Jason, classic slasher with 2 of the best 80s horror icons. And number 1, the original classic slasher. Very dark and gory, and Freddy is actually scary in this. The scene with the long arms is the stuff of nightmares, which I still don't think you've really seen number 1.
I don't know if I have. I haven't seen a lot of them because I can't really find them.
Yeah, we have that whole box set. Maybe we'll do that for an episode and just run through all of them. So, nice little list there. I guess I'm probably slightly shocked at Dream Warriors being at number 4. I think most folks are always 1 and 2 is 1 and 3. That's so confusing. Their number 1 is always the original, and their number 2 is always Dream Warriors. But I'm seeing no love for number two, which I can't really blame. All right, next list is from Kyle. Top five Nightmare on Elm Street films. Number five, Freddy vs. Jason. Number four, Freddy's Dead. Number three, A New Nightmare. Number two, Dream Warriors. Number one, the original Nightmare on Elm Street. Yeah, this list is, I think, much more closer than what I have my top five list. Actually, so I made my franchise breakdown of this. I don't think I've launched that video yet, though. I think I've only done Halloween and Friday the 13th. But I did make a video of my Nightmare on Elm Street films ranked. So, note from Kyle, 1 and 3 can flip back and forth at any given time. I enjoy them equally. All right. Last submission is from Lucas. Number 5, A Nightmare on Elm Street 2. Oh, we do have Part 2, Freddy's Revenge. Number 4 is Freddy vs. Jason. I've always considered this a nightmare movie with Jason in it. It doesn't feel like a Friday the 13th film at all. Interesting. I don't know. Number 3 is the original Nightmare on Elm Street. Number 2 is Wes Craven's New Nightmare. And number 1, Nightmare on Elm Street 3, The Dream Warriors. To me, it's the best done and most fun of the Nightmare franchise. Freddy was still scary, dark, mean, and brutal without being overly jokey. Yeah, he started to get weird in 4. That's where I think 4 was the one in the beginning where he's the Wicked Witch riding around in a broomstick. I don't remember if that was 4 or 5.
That's so weird.
And I just remember watching that and be like, what the hell just happened to Freddy? Now, 3, a lot of people will say it's goofy because the people kind of in Dream World, they had superpowers. Like, one was a wizard, and one was like a kung fu master, one had super strength. And some people were like, yeah, it's a little too wacky or something. I thought number 3 was done really well. I think on my list when I did it, I think I put Freddy's Revenge as my bottom movie. Just because that one is just weird. I don't know. And not for the reasons everybody thinks it's weird. I will admit there is that one documentary that I want to check out called Scream Queen that I haven't seen yet. It was from the actor from Nightmare on Elm Street Part 2, who, I don't know when he came out that he was gay, but at some point he came out that he was gay, and a lot of people were turned off by Part 2 because it was kind of different in that way, kind of like a homoerotic type of thing. I'll be honest, I watched it so young that I never picked up on any of that, and I just remember the bus scene at the beginning. It was like, that's awesome. What turned me off is the end was just so lame. It was just, I guess Freddy has a habit of dying really easily, and it kind of like bums you out. But number 2 could have just been the worst, where it's just, I don't know, number 1 was pretty bad. I don't know. Number 1's a great movie. But it ends by Nancy turning her back on Freddy. And that killed him. I'm like, really?
That's
all the other stuff that happened to him. And turning your back on him. I mean, I get where they were trying to come from, but it was just, I don't know. Let's just say Jason's taking machetes, you know, to the head, an axe to the head. That's a kill. So, anyways, thanks guys for sending the list in. For the next episode, send in your top 5 slasher films. So we've covered a lot of the franchises. Now just, you know, if folks thought these other lists were hard, I can't imagine. I could see people sending in different films and maybe a film or two being shared amongst the lists, because there's a lot of them out there and a lot of really good ones. Although I'm sure Halloween will probably make everybody's list. But all right, what did you watch?
Last episode. So I watched the one that we were talking about earlier, Bait. Mm-hmm. I watched part of The Platform. And I think we saw something else. Did we watch something else?
I don't know. I put stuff on, but I never know when you're watching or not.
I'm always watching.
Frailty I put on last week. That was the one with the God's Hand Killer.
Yeah. Oh, that was a really good one. I didn't know what it was called. That was super good.
Yeah, we'll have to pick that at some point.
You know what's so weird? So we watched that movie, and the next day I go into work, and I'm working, and on one of the, like, I work in an office, so there's cubicles, and on one of the cubicles, it said Otis, and I'm like, oh, I'm gonna have to go kill some people real quick.
So I'm curious, so most people, when they think of Otis, think of House of 1,000 Corpses.
I haven't seen that one yet.
I think most people forget that the axe actually, like, had a name on it.
In this one?
In Frailty. Yeah, but when people think of Otis, they think of, he's basically one of the leads in House of 1,000 Corpses and Devil's Rejects and Three from Hell. So, yeah, I really like that movie. I always dug it. We're going to have to review it at some point and dig into a little bit. Yeah, who knows, man? I always put something on at night. And we watched My Buddy Valentine 3D.
Yeah.
That one.
Non-3D.
Yeah, there's no way. So it's cool. I forgot we have this version that's a reversible DVD with the 2D version and the 3D version. The 3D version actually looks kind of cool with the glasses, except I can't really wear those things for too long. But it is kind of... I don't know. I mean, it's not like it's a small TV by any means. No. I think it's like 60. But the maybe it's because we're too close or something. I don't know. But I do remember seeing it in 3D in the theater, and it was pretty badass.
When we were watching the 3D, the kills, they look super good.
Oh, yeah. It's I don't even know how many kills we actually saw in 3D.
I think it was like literally two.
Did we? Okay.
And they both looked super good.
Yeah, it took me a while to remember to flip the disc to get the 2D version, but I was already... The migraine was coming on. I'm trying to think of all the other movies that I've put on, because it pretty much will just put something on, like, every night. But, yeah. I don't know. I know some of the ones I think... So, what did I have on my list? I watched Platform. People are raving about that movie. I'm not sure where I felt. I don't want to say too much, because it's probably going to be... at some point, we'll probably end up picking it to review, simply because it's one of the newer ones.
I think it was a worse cube.
It was. Those types of movies definitely try to be cube. It was weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I think one of the things that bothered me about cube was when it started to go a little too mathy.
Yeah,
and I like math, but it was just like kind of like, all right, this is a stretch.
Yeah,
but
this I only came like I'd say halfway into the movie.
I don't know how much you missed. You probably missed about like 20 to 30 minutes, but I mean, if I'm trying to remember, I believe it started and they were already in the whatever the box.
Because like I wasn't confused, but like I was like what, like why are they, like what's going on? Why are they there? And like, what's this? They came up with this plan that was just perfect.
Yeah, I mean, I know it. So at first, they were kind of in there, and I think everybody's, you know, no surprise if you've seen the trailer. Basically, a platform of food that goes down from floor to floor, and basically, you know, the people up top take the food, and then it goes down to the people on the bottom, and then all the way down. So, you know, you get everybody's table scraps, basically. So I hope that doesn't pick up on a microphone. Yeah. It must be frogs or something outside.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Oh, well. So I watched that. Unsubscribe. I got to look this one up again. There's no possible way this really was a horror movie. I've seen it. This is what bugs me sometimes when people want to kind of label everything as horror. There was nothing horrific about this movie. Like, in fact... I don't even think anybody died in the movie. It was was about like a couple of YouTubers. I guess the movie was like kind of following the one YouTuber. And then he was just a complete prick. Right? And it was they watched his life fall apart, and I guess it kind of got back. And I was just like thinking, okay, so he's gonna snap, he's gonna start killing people. No, spoiler alert. It's just boring as shit. There's nothing horrific about it, which was like, you know, at some parts, I guess I was kind of watching. Most of the movie was just cringeworthy. It was just like, it's like if I walked into this dude, I'd probably just punch him in the face on sight.
He just, would be the one that snapped.
Yeah, he was just like such a whack job. And then Scare Package, interesting film. I feel like I have to watch it again to consume it a little bit better. It's may even end up being, you know, on an upcoming episode as well. Because again, that's another one of the recent big names going on. So, all right.
There's no way it's not picking it up.
Ah, well. All right. So, anything else, or we jump right in?
I kind of wanted to say, like what you said, like, unsubscribe. I just like avoiding these new horror movies about internet. They all seem to be so bad.
I think most movies that try to be cliche or try to be hip with the times end up being cliche. And it just... I don't know. I don't find them to work very often. So it's just, it's very weird. And like, I'm trying to think, like, the last movie that, like, that I really watched and I was like, all right, that was just good or that was just original. I don't know that we've had that this year where, you know, it was just like at least the originality part of it. Because there are some original ideas out there. It's like everybody thought The Hunt was kind of original. Guess what? There's been movies very similar to that before. I don't even think The Hunt was that good. But everybody was raving over it. And not only that, I don't think it was horror. So, just my two cents on that. Okay, so I kind of like that Eli movie that you hated.
I don't know if I hate it anymore. I just feel like I couldn't watch it again.
Yeah, I don't know that I would. I've seen it a bunch of times. Like, so you know, like I'm like, should I watch it? I'm like, I don't know.
You know, like once you know the twist, I guess, it's just like you can't do it again.
Sometimes. You know, I can't even begin to tell you how many times I've watched Identity or Frailty. And it's, you know, the twist never gets old.
Yeah, but like there's still content in the middle.
Yeah, I don't know. I know a lot of people that hate Identity, actually.
Really?
I don't know too many people that I've ever heard say a bad word about Frailty. But I know a lot of people that hate Identity. And really? Think it's just a horrible movie.
That's weird.
If I remember right, I think Frank hated it.
My man.
Yeah. I think he really despised that movie. And was like, this is so stupid. But could be wrong on that one. But I always found that movie to be incredibly fun. Oh, that's the other one that I had put on for you. I don't know if you were watching either. Leslie Vernon, Behind a Mask, Rise of Leslie Vernon. It was the documentary on the slasher killer. I don't think you were paying attention.
I don't think I saw that.
Yeah. But yeah, I've just been going through a whole bunch of movies, like one or two a night, and so. Been watching them a lot of times when you're out here, and you sometimes watch, sometimes don't. So, but you're right. The majority of movies that come out every year are kind of routine and cliche and are nothing special. So that's not too different. But whenever they try to be, I think, too hip, they usually fall flat.
It's so cringeworthy. It's just like, it's more cringe than like... It's not even average. It's below average.
Yeah, I mean, I thought DeadCon was about average.
I mean, take it or leave it, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, I could have missed the movie and somebody could have told me about it and I would have never watched it. So, Countdown I thought was like about average. Polaroid was like about average.
Yeah.
You know, they were like okay-ish. But and you know what, though? I'll say Polaroid at least had a chance of being a little bit more original than, like, you know, an app that counts down your death.
Yeah. But even that, that's less, like, trying to be hip.
Yeah, I think, like, when you talk about Countdown, you're trying to capture the young audience.
Yeah.
And the reality probably is that they are the people going to the theaters. Not now, but when people were going to theater. I don't even know if they're open yet or not around us. But they are the people that buy the tickets. I hate to say it, but the majority of people that listen to podcasts like this, they aren't huge theater goers a lot of times. They'll watch a ton of movies and know a ton about horror, but they will go to the theaters to watch, like, you know, when Halloween came out, I'm sure everybody flocked and ran for that. But, like, when new ones come out, like, I don't know, like, Invisible Man, you know, I don't know how many people were running for that.
Well, nobody.
But maybe Invisible Man I could see, because, I mean, that was kind of like a Universal Monsters kind of thing.
I think theaters were closing.
No, Invisible Man was, like, one of the last big films that were in the theaters, I believe. I think that was 2020, but it was early. It was like January or February, I think.
That's terrible.
But yeah, that's how long it's been. I will say we're now in July, and I don't think we've been to the theater was since Halloween. Was it 2018?
It's like 2 years.
I think so. I probably, sad part is I probably go to see more kids movies in the theater than horror movies.
Yeah.
So I'm sure the last movie I seen in the theater probably was a kids movie.
Yeah, actually probably.
Alright. Speaking of 2020, shall we get into the next movie?
Let's do it.
Alright. You Should Have Left from 2020. A former banker, his actress wife, and their spirited daughter book a vacation at an isolated modern home in the Welsh countryside where nothing is quite as it seems.
Come away with me. If I don't get out of here for a while, I think I'm gonna go nuts.
I love you so much.
It's just the three of us. Just you and me and Ella.
Daddy, because you're old, you'll die before Mommy, right?
Hey, not that old.
It's so beautiful!
Wow.
I love this.
Wait.
What?
Listen. Be quiet. I know it's fun, but it's time to sleep. Good night, honey.
All right, You Should Have Left from 2020. What do you think about it?
So I think I need to update my sources of information because I never heard about this one. I'm surprised it's a 2020. It did not look like a 2020 movie to me. I don't know. Maybe I was expecting a cliche hip movie, but this was kind of the opposite. But like, I don't know. Would you really consider this horror? I don't know if it was really, like, I guess it was psychological, I guess.
It is, like, it is definitely in the horror genre.
Yeah?
Yeah, just because of, I mean, if you think of, without trying to give too much away or anything like that, but think of, I'm trying to think of movies that you've, like, kind of seen, but if you think of, like, haunted house type of movies, think like Paranormal Activity, Shining. There's this one doesn't survive on jump scares, but it's definitely like a slow burn type of movie.
Yeah.
But it's you're definitely not gonna get scared. I don't think people can get scared watching it.
Yeah.
I'll say that.
Did I stand corrected? But like I don't know. Like you said it was slow burning. And I think it kind of was relying on, like, twists at the end a little bit.
Yeah, I don't think it... I don't think that surprised anybody.
Yeah, like, they were so, like, predictable, I guess. But I guess it was cool in some scenes. Mostly towards the end. When it kind of started turning into, like, a maze. I guess, yeah. Without spoiling it. But, I mean, that's pretty cool. I guess not spoiling it. In the beginning when he got the triangle and then it comes back up later, that's pretty cool. But I don't know. There weren't too many cool parts in it.
How long was this guy? Oh, wow, that's not good.
It's like an hour and a half.
Yeah. I was going to say, yeah, it probably went a little longer than it should have, but no, runtime is 93 minutes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's interesting, because Kevin Bacon, who's the dad, he's always pretty awesome. Amanda Seyfried, I'm trying to think, I don't think I've seen her in too many movies. I mean, at least the last horror movie I remember was Jennifer's Body, and called horror, if you want, but I thought she was actually really good. I don't remember her being, like, amazing before in anything. I was just like, all right, so she's there. And she was pretty good there. But, you know, I mentioned, I guess it's a slow burner, but it's kind of like the film never seems to catch fire. It's just not horrible. It's just not very good. I would say, you know, probably worth a watch. You may regret it. You'll never watch it more than once. You know, there's no... You know, ridiculously easy to figure out. No shocks, no scares. You know, I could always use the pun of, oh, you should have left this film alone. Huh. But, not hating on it. I just don't see too much in it. And I will admit I was sort of looking forward to it. Because the writer-director, David Kopp, I think that's how you say it, was also the guy who... He had two good movies under his belt, sort of. He had Stir of Echoes, which was really good, and Secret Window, which I think I was the only one that kind of liked it. But it kind of felt like they were trying to go back to a little bit of what, like, Stir of Echoes was, but then they forgot what made that film worked. And but, you know, figure you put the two of them together, that maybe there was a little magic there that might have come out of it, and just didn't happen. But
for some reason, I feel like this movie would sit well with a younger audience.
Yeah, it's interesting when you think about movies like this. For some reason, I can't shake that this film is eerily familiar to, like, Invisible Man, even though there's nothing there that ties them together. There's just something about the look and feel of the movie is kind of the same.
Yeah, I see where you're coming from.
Yeah, and people definitely loved Invisible Man. I thought it was a decent movie. I thought it was a good movie. But I'm just, like, thinking people have seen this film. Younger audience may never have seen, like, you know, Poltergeist or The Shining or films like that. It's like... I don't want to say similar films, because this is nowhere in the same vein as those two movies, but it's, you know, when I think of like, I'm trying not to spoil things, but, like, spooky kind of places, not that this is a ghost story or anything like that, but it's you know, there's movies already out there that have done this far better. So, like I said, not hating, but just not hugely fond of it.
I agree.
Yeah. All right. Should we rate it?
Yeah.
All right. Go for it.
I'm stuck between a 5 and I forget our own rating system.
Oh, sorry. Okay. So we're rating up to a 10. So 1 to 10. I can't imagine giving anything a 0. 10 is perfection, right? There's not a thing you would change about it. You know, it's let's say it's one of your favorite movies or something like that. And a 1 is just like a piece of dog shit. That, like, big dog shit, right? Not like a small little puppy kind of thing, but, like, you know, no redeeming qualities or anything. And, like, say a 5 is right down the middle. It's probably kind of what you expect it to be. You probably will never watch it again. It was, you know, nothing amazing.
I thought a 5 was, like, if you saw it on, like, TV, you'd turn it on, but you wouldn't go out of your way to see it.
Oof. Yeah, maybe. Maybe it could be.
Alright, so that's 5. I'll give us a 5.
Yeah, that's where I'm at, is a 5. I will say I'm not sure that I would watch it if it was on TV, though. It's a good one. I don't know. I've really watched some bad stuff that, you know, I'll see on TV, like, oh, at least until a commercial. It's like, Yeah. That's probably why I've seen so many of the Marvel movies a million times, because I will watch them if they're on TV. But, which was weird, because the other day was the first time since it came out that I watched Infinity War.
Is that the new one?
No, the one before that.
Yeah. Oh, really? You didn't see that one yet?
I saw it, but it was the first time I've watched it since then.
Oh. Have you seen the new one yet?
Yeah. Seen it like the weekend it came out.
I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, and a few times since.
It's too damn long. If this was an hour and a half.
I don't think it was longer than Infinity War.
It was like 3 hours.
Yeah, Infinity War was over too.
What was it called?
Endgame.
I bet you it was 3 to 3.5 hours.
Yeah, I don't know. If I had that kind of patience, I would love to watch them back to back.
3 hours and 2 minutes.
No, I remember it was 3 hours, but I think Infinity War was at least 2.5. Once you get past 2, it might as well be 6.
That's so true. But like, I remember watching Infinity War and being like, eh. Like, it wasn't amazing. Oh my, Infinity War is 240.
I see, I didn't think they were that much different.
But I struggled getting through Infinity War.
I don't know. To me, it's interesting because, you know, I read the original Infinity Gauntlet series. Which, by the way, this is, like, different.
Yeah.
You know, they hell, a lot of the characters that actually, were like Silver Surfer.
Yeah, he's not in here.
He's not in there at all. And he's the one that falls from the sky and tells them that Thanos is coming, not the Hulk.
The Hulk.
And they just couldn't get the licensing rights for Silver Surfer.
Slam.
So they were like, all right, we'll use the Hulk. But it just some things were weird. Like Hulk can't transform, yeah. Whatever, not transform, but he can't become the Hulk. Are you freaking serious?
Like, Ant-Man was on house arrest. Or Hawkeye or something.
Yeah, it was just... Yeah, I don't know. There were weird things to it, but overall, I will say, they give a lot of airtime to the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
Whoo! And Ant-Man could do... I mean, Ant-Man wasn't in that one, right? No, Ant-Man was in the second one. Yeah. But, yeah, I don't know. Probably not enough for Black Panther.
He's
which
sick.
Is kind of weird because in the first movie, I mean, technically the fight is like in Wakanda, but the just feels like he's not there for most of the movie, which is kind of weird.
Yeah.
I mean, he can be a pretty, like a badass, but
yeah.
All right, enough. This isn't a Marvel podcast. All right, next up, ready?
Yeah.
Hellraiser from 1987.
I have seen the future of horror. His name is Clive Barker. Hellraiser. Beyond any terror you have imagined. A nightmare.
No.
Unlike anything you have witnessed.
All right, Hellraiser, 1987. An unfaithful wife encounters the zombie of her dead lover. The demonic Cenobites are pursuing him after he escaped their sadomasochistic underworld. All right, what do you say about this one? Because you look thoroughly bored.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe I have to watch it again. As I watched it again today. But this is like a weird one to me because I've always recognized Pinhead. Always recognized him. But I've never seen the movie. I think ever since like maybe I was like 6 when we went to like horror conventions. Always seen him somewhere. But I'm like, I've never seen the movie. And then when I watched it, it was so weird that he wasn't like the main focus of the movie. You told me that. But it's still like kind of weird. Cause like he's like pretty popular, I think. Mm-hmm. A lot of people know. But I'm surprised this was made in 87. Cause some like the effects look really good. especially when they first introduced the corpse, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
That looked pretty cool.
It's like, a lot of people say it's like one of the best effect sequences ever.
Yeah. It looked like they just reversed it, but still it looked sick. Like, especially for 87, I guess. I wasn't there then, but like, assume that was pretty good. But like, I think I watched it twice this week. I think I could watch it 100 times. It's super good. I didn't feel like it was that slow. I don't think I was that bored.
Yeah, when we watched it, you looked like you were ready to gouge your eyes
out. It was also like 11. It was like 11 o'clock.
Yeah, okay, so Clive Barker's the director. He's like, this amazing, like, imagination that he has, right? So he wrote a book called The Hellbound Heart, which was what ended up becoming Hellraiser. So in the movie, Pinhead is referred to as lead Cenobite.
Yeah.
Did I say Cenobite or Cinnabon?
You said Cenobite.
All right. If it was Cinnabon, that would be really weird. But so he actually in the credits is lead Cenobite.
Yeah, that's what they call him.
Yeah. So the female Cenobite, the Chatterer one, and Engineer,
which is sick,
all have much more prominent roles in the book, mm-hmm. but the film adaptation prevented it. So the Chatterer, the couldn't speak in the costume.
Yeah.
And also, like, the actor wasn't able to, like, see through the costume or something like that. And the Engineer, who is, you know, pretty much supposed to have a much more prominent role, was basically remade to almost the point of being unrecognizable. Again, like, just all because of the makeup and, like, the costumes and stuff. So, in the sequel, they had... They tried to rectify some of that, but at that point, I guess, like, Pinhead took over.
Yeah.
Right, as being the thing. The head of everything. Now, the weird thing is, like, it's such a weird series. I'm, like, so there's that film, and I honestly think that there's not another film in the series that is similar to that. And there's, like, at least 8, maybe 9, if you consider the remake, which I think I watched once. I know I watched some of it. I don't know if I watched it all. And I wanted to just basically shoot myself. It was just so weird. And like, I don't, you know, Doug Bradley plays an excellent Pinhead, right? And, oh wait, you didn't see Doug Bradley. That's in part 2. Yeah, so in part 2, you actually see, like, the guy who plays Pinhead. But, like, in part 2, which I had actually watched, like, a few weeks ago, too, it's, basically, they end up bringing one of the characters back. But, and then it ends up being, like, what was he, a teacher? I forget what the hell it was, like, a professor or something like that. And now all of a sudden he wants to, you know, see the dead. And it just gets really wacky, especially at the end of things. I know, like, Ashley Lawrence did return, but it was, like, weird. So this movie, Clive Barker had done, like, a couple short films up to this point. I think they were trying to get somebody to direct this movie, and he was just like, this is shit. And eventually he's like, yeah, I never directed a movie, let me give it a go. And he hasn't directed a ton of movies in his career because he's definitely more of a writer. But it's just like, you know, his imagination is ridiculous. Like, all the designs for, like, Cenobites and all, it's, like, all out of his head.
They look sick.
Yeah. It's such a weird... Like, if you've seen some of these movies, a lot of people knock part 3 because it's called Hell on Earth and basically they're out in the street and killing people and it's just like... People, like, think that's a little wacky, but it was, like, kind of good. But I think it was, like, after that, they attached the name Hellraiser to films that weren't ever meant to be Hellraiser films. and Pinhead showed up in like the last 5 minutes of the movie and just be like, oh, now you've summoned me. And like, well, what the hell? Like, you knew it was a Hellraiser movie, but like, there was literally one movie that was meant to be like a psychological thriller or something. But they're like, this is never going to sell. And like, hey, why don't we bring Pinhead in at the end? Like, what? It's just most, I'm telling you, none of the other films are anything like this one. Not to say they're bad, because some of them I really like. There was one that I actually really liked that I have to watch again. It was like, because they were doing like a party. Was it Deader? I think it was Deader. It was the one where they were doing a party at the house. And then it was like a cool little twist at the end. But again, Pinhead doesn't show up until like the end. And like what the, what's like the waste of that? If nothing, even just for all the, I mean, he, one of the most quotable characters of all time.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like the sayings that he has is like on par almost with like Donald Pleasance and all the cool things that he said. But yeah, it was this thing is, you watch it and the visuals are stuck with you.
Yeah.
So it was just pretty good. But it's funny because yeah, I don't know if you notice at the end that things start to get a little wacky with the effects.
So yes.
Okay.
A little bit wacky.
It's funny because basically what they ended up saying, they started to get really low on the budget. There was no money left to have the effects done the way he wanted to do after filming was done. So instead, Clive Barker met a Greek guy, as he calls it. And basically they just got drunk. edited the end of the thing and Clive Barker's like, huh, I'm surprised it wasn't worse.
is that why the dragon came in?
I know. I think all the story was all kind of there. I'm telling you, like, so if you ever like read his stuff, it's he's got an imagination, man. He really does, and a lot of stuff is really cool. He hasn't directed many, but there's some of the ones he's directed, it's just like, it's out there in a cool way, not like out there in like, you know, Easter Holocaust way. But
yeah,
but definitely good.
I feel like there's some funny parts to this movie, like especially like at the end. I don't want to spoil it. It's kind of old movie though. When like the girl's like his boyfriend comes, and all hell's breaking loose.
Oh yeah.
And then they leave, and he doesn't say anything. Yeah. He's just like, oh, that's normal. It's like, what the hell?
Well, but I said the same thing about Pin last episode.
What do you mean?
That like the boyfriend just comes over.
But she told him about it. She said, "Be prepared." This guy walks into hell, literally raising. Nothing. Here, take my jacket. That's it.
Maybe that's what shock is. I've never been in shock, so I don't know.
He almost got stabbed by a Cenobite, and he's just like, oh, whatever. Mm. I know what that is. I've opened the thing before and closed it.
I think the only part of this movie that I'm just like, all right, that was... Like, all right, the ending gets a little wacky, but the one part that always drives me crazy, and I guess they try to explain it, is when they're moving the mattress... And then the nail hits the guy, right? Yeah. There's two parts that bother me. One is, he is the biggest bitch I've ever seen in my life. Like, and I'm like, oh my God, man up, dude. But, you know, so that was a little bit weird. But then she's like, oh, I am with the sight of blood. And then right then and there, just like, how uncaring that she was.
Yeah.
Should have just been like... He should have been like, you know what? You're only using me to raise demons. Right? It's because she was just like, oh, stop it. I mean, same thing pretty much I said. But, you know, it's like, dude, there's a gash and a gallon of blood on the ground, right? And she's like, nah, just put a Band-Aid on it.
Just another thing, dude. He gets cut by the soft side of a nail, and it's like he got slashed by a machete.
Unfortunately, I've been down that road when I got a nail under there, and it just like just kind of went through and pulled
but
everything
he just,
up.
Just like grazed it.
Yeah, it was a little rough. It was not exactly accurate to what would have happened. I mean, maybe a bruise, maybe a tiny puncture, but not a gallon of blood.
Yeah. He's bleeding all the way up the stairs into the attic. Bleeds in the attic. Mm-hmm. He's going crazy.
Actually, a funny thing about that role is Doug Bradley, who took on the role of Pinhead, almost played one of those mattress movers.
Really? That would be funny.
They said he was a new film actor. And he thought that it was important that people see his face. So he almost took that role and decided, let me stick with Lee Cenobite. What am I saying
no,
wrong?
No, you're saying Cenobite.
Okay.
I don't know what you're
thinking. It feels like I'm saying Cinnabon.
Yes, you're not.
I don't know what the hell it is.
I'm hearing Cenobite. So.
Yeah. All right, so a couple cool things about this movie. I guess the older movies you always get this. They said, so Claire Higgins says she hates horror movies. She saw this for the first time at the premiere. She had to leave 10 minutes after 10 minutes because it freaked her out so much, and she's never seen the whole movie.
There's nothing that happened in the first 10 minutes besides blood.
I don't even know that there was... Oh, yeah, I got you. Yeah, the beginning is the chains and all. Yeah, I can see that. Yeah,
yeah.
But it's interesting. Well, there's a lot of people like, I think, the Betsy Palmer who played Pamela Voorhees in the original Friday the 13th never saw a sequel.
Really?
Yeah. A few people actually, I think that had a lot to do with Friday the 13th never saw a sequel.
It's kind of weird.
Yeah. A little odd. Speaking of that, and I should have mentioned this in the interesting horror fact thing, I finally found out why the Friday the 13th TV series never featured Jason Voorhees.
What? They can't get the rights.
No. This was back in the 90s. Because the series literally was not supposed to have anything to do with Friday the 13th. I think it was supposed to be called 13th Hour or something like that. And then Frank Mancuso Jr. had jumped into the mix. And he's like, well, you know what would make this thing sell? Is if you called it Friday the 13th. And that's because everybody was like, why would you call it Friday the 13th without Jason? And they never had intentions of Jason even being in there. They said at one point they were going to have one of the artifacts. So the store, it was an antique store that sold a bunch of stuff, and then they realized everything was cursed. You know, conjuring. So the whole purpose of the series, which actually ran for 3 years, and a lot of people don't realize that, the people were chasing down the artifacts that were sold.
Yeah.
Because they were cursed. And they did say at one point they were going to introduce Jason's hockey mask as one of the artifacts and decide, I think it was like second or third season, they're like, why bring him into the mix now? But the funny thing, two interesting facts that people probably don't realize, the guy who was one of the main characters in the show is the same guy from Jason Goes to Hell.
Look at him.
He's the whatever, the father of
the baby.
The baby.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was the one that was in the TV show.
That's actually kind of cool.
Yeah, people never they never realized that because everybody kind of forgot about the TV show. But, anyways, all right. What else? Doug Bradley's character name was Priest in the earliest drafts of the scripts, ultimately being simply lead Cenobite. Pinhead originates a nickname for the character. It's stuck, obviously. And Clive Barker hates the name.
Really?
Yeah, he finds it undignified. And this one, I didn't even realize. Nintendo developed a video game based on the film.
Really?
Yeah. And it was... Oh, that's why. I just had it in my notes. I already forgot to. So it was planned as one of the first to feature the capacity to save a player's game and let them return later.
When was this made? When was this?
Well, the movie was 87. I'm trying to think. Like, the first games that I played where you could save would have probably been... I forget what the hell they were called.
What was it? I think you played, like...
I played Atari 2600.
Like, The Shining or something.
Oh, The Shining in the Darkness is way later. Oh, yeah, that's way later, dude. That's Sega Genesis.
My bad.
Yeah, this was like Nintendo. I'm pretty sure you never could save the original Mario Brothers. I don't think you could. I was never a Nintendo guy, so I don't know. But that was... I remember I was playing it with a group of friends around, like, late 80s, in like, maybe 89 or 90. And we would play that game, and I don't think that you could ever save... I never realized that they were making a Hellraiser game at the time. But I know the Atari 2600 games, I thought there was... There was this game, there was like a three-part thing. One was called Water World, one was called Earth World, one was called Fire World. And I don't remember. It was pretty cool. The game came with a comic book. And I'm almost positive you could save. But...
The first ever game where you can save was A Legend of Zelda in 1986. Which is a Nintendo game, I believe.
Yeah, which is before this movie came out. That's interesting. Well, it did say one of the first, I guess.
Yeah.
So I guess it doesn't count. So yeah, I did play Legend of Zelda on the Game Boy. But I don't know if Game Boy was probably later. I do remember. I never understood the Game Boy thing. But at one point I got the Game Boy and I was like, everybody's always talking about Zelda. I knew nothing about Nintendo because I was like, Atari, the Sega. That was, you know. A couple of friends of mine, I think, had the ColecoVision or something like that, too. And they had a cool, like, Qbert game and a Popeye game. I remember those, too. But kind of never got the system or anything. Nintendo was just never got it. It was always a fad. You know, we've had, what, a few of the Wiis in this house. Yeah, we've had a few of them. Just that tells you right then and there. Like, we've had, I think I've only ever owned one PlayStation 2. Yeah. I think two PlayStation 3s, and we still have one right there.
Yeah.
So wrong. One PlayStation 4. Like, we don't replace these things. We don't have to. And I think we've had three Wiis.
I think four.
Yeah, oh my God, it's just crazy. And, you know, I fell into the trap of, let me get the Wii Fit, and it was kind of cool, and...
That it probably broke.
No, I think we gave the pad thing, which I thought would actually break, was actually okay. Technology was decent, but the only game I think I enjoyed, the boxing game was kind of cool, actually, I think. But the bowling game was actually kind of realistic.
That one slaps.
Yeah. It slaps. Definitely slaps. Alright, what else? Film originally set in England. It says, hence the obvious London location. Don't know. But New World thought the film would be more marketable if it's set in America. So many of the English actors, including Sean Chapman, Oliver Parker, and others, were dubbed by American actors. Which I never really caught. I have to watch that at some point to see. But there were probably kind of right. It's like if it was made in the... Man, I don't know movies made in the UK at that time that, like, became popular in the States. So I don't know. Even, like, the Subspecies series, which was later than this. It's like almost nobody in the US even knows about those movies. But I don't know. All right. Anything else about this film?
No. I think we summed it up.
Let's give it a rating.
Am I going first?
Oh, yeah, you always go first.
Oh, yeah. I think I'm going to give it an 8. Just not like a 9 or a 10, because some of the goofy parts.
Yeah, I got an 8 as well. It's, yeah, I don't know. I will say, I'm curious. It's probably one of the... Yeah, I don't know. I was thinking that, like... previously I would have rated this film lower or something, but it was interesting watching this film without like trying to watch the whole series, because yeah, this has to be, I don't care what anybody says, to me this is the weirdest franchise out there in horror.
Weirder than Halloween.
Yeah, it's at least in Halloween, Michael's always there.
But don't they like just completely?
No, yeah, they've had at least four different timelines.
Yeah.
But still, it's just they. Let's say there's eight Hellraiser movies. And I forget exactly how many there are. There's eight different stories that aren't connected outside of one and two. Alright, that's yeah. Like, I'm telling you, if you've seen some of the movies from four on, it's like, I'm not kidding, you legit don't see Pinhead until the end of some of those movies. Sometimes you'll see a little screen capture of him, like Doug Bradley's the smartest man in the world. He just makes money to get makeup on once, and he probably just sat back and got his makeup on once, and they recorded six movies. And he just did it all in one night because his scenes were so little.
He's a smart man.
But yeah, it's, I mean, they just kept putting more and more out. And then I think there's always talk of more and more coming out. They're talking about another reboot and all too. I don't know what you could do with this movie though. I don't know. This is one of those movies I don't think needs to be remade. I don't know.
There's no point. It's not like it looks bad. Like, it looks good.
Well, I mean, they remade Halloween, and a lot of people were offended by that. I didn't care too much, because Rob Zombie was a good director at the time. So it was going to be interesting to see what he did. The Friday the 13th, I'm not going to knock that. Any chance I get to see a Friday the 13th movie, I'm going to take it. I don't know. But this, like, I don't know what you're going to do to change the movie.
I honestly think if it would be remade, they would just include Pinhead more.
Well, no, they did remake it. But I don't even... There was a remake. I think it's actually on one of the services, too. You can check it out.
When was it made? 2011?
Maybe?
Because I watched that today, and it was a 1987 one.
No, 1987 is the original.
I watched the 2011. It was the same as the 87.
Oh, that's not right then. I don't know what the hell that was. Maybe it was like a re-release DVD or something that came out in 2011.
Because they were both there. When we watched it, was that the 87 one?
Yeah.
I literally watched the 2011. And it was the same exact
one. Oh, that's weird then. Something's not right in their system. Because I do think the remake was 2011. And not only, well, so it's funny because Doug Bradley's not a large man anyway, but I remember the remake, the guy seemed even smaller.
Really?
They kind of make
he looks tall.
Pinhead look tall,
yeah.
But he's small. He's not a big guy. And but I just remember the remake. It was just like, I don't know. They tried to make him, I remember seeing the first picture when it came out, and I remember that the face was a little more bloody, like because you know they're like, well, he has pins in his head, so there should be blood. And,
but he's also like a god.
Yeah, so it was like they did something like that. But I swear I don't remember much of the movie. Now I'm gonna freaking like dig it out and watch it tonight or something. But the one thing I remember about the movie, I think, was like a guy in his apartment or something, and maybe summon Pinhead. It was way different, we'll say. And if I remember, it was shot like really gritty or something like that. I can't believe how little I remember of it, which is kind of weird. Like, I can probably remember more about like Last House on the Left remake and movies I've seen once from 10 years ago. Well, then again, this was 10 years ago too. But it's funny going back and publishing some of the older podcasts again. And I still have all the notes from the shows and get to see news that you used to talk about back then. So far I've only done like 2008 and 2009 episodes, but it's funny, some of the movies that we were talking about never got made.
Really?
Yeah. And some of the movies, I remember at that point in time, one of my movies to look forward to in 2009 was Friday the 13th. They're like, but there's no way in hell it's ever going to get remade because it's been years that they've been talking about it. And it actually did get released in 2009.
Maybe that's what I started doing. Start saying stuff's not going to happen.
No, there was so much. Oh my God, I remember going through some of these things. Like, yeah, that never happened, and that never happened, and that never happened. And just, you forget that they were talking about it. God knows they've been talking about an Exorcist remake probably for 20 years. And it's just, I don't know.
They're never going to do it. Because what if they mess up?
They don't care.
I guess.
You can make bank. You really can.
Yeah.
It's just there is more money in making remakes than there are in making sequels, in my opinion.
Yeah, probably.
You're going to get the people who watched the original that are going to watch the remake anyway. And then you're going to get the people that, you know, the newer breed of people that'll watch the remake is like, yeah, I never got around to watching the original. So now I'll just watch this.
Mm.
So, you know, they can knock Halloween when it first came out and people are like, I can't believe that they're going to butcher the original movie. But it made money. H2 didn't make money. But... Halloween made money.
Yeah.
So, of course, they're going to do that. You know, Friday 13th made money. The only reason they're not making them more is all the stupid licensing chaos that's going on. All two guys that can't just get on the same page because, you know, one thinks he deserves 50% and the other's like, dude, you did nothing.
Dude, just do the 50-50.
Yeah, well, at this point, they're... No matter what percentage they're getting that percentage of zero. So,
yeah.
And it's amazing to me. And I don't know the ins and outs, but basically it sounds like Victor Miller thinks he deserves 50%. And Sean Cunningham pretty much did everything. And seeing as though Jason wasn't even in the first movie. It's a little weird. Only because, you know, he was a deformed kid that drowned. And all of a sudden, after he spawns 11 sequels, then Victor Miller wants half of everything. And like I said, I don't know the ins and outs because it's just dizzying trying to keep up. And I really don't care. I just want to see movies.
Yeah.
So, all right. Anything else for this episode?
I think I was going to say, they released that Blair Witch game. Thinking about buying that, playing it.
That's right. You were talking about that a while ago, and you never got it. Was it the... Oh, no, it was the other one.
Yeah, but I was also talking about the Blair Witch one.
I'd be curious.
So am I.
I would be curious. I just can't, yeah. I wish I could get back into games. I remember they were dark times. I had a hell of a good time, except I'm one of the people with addictive personalities that will sit up and just play the game until like 4 in the morning. And
sometimes that's what you gotta do.
There's so many other things you can do in life. And, you know, that makes me sound like an old man. But I don't know. I'd rather probably do more creative things than that.
That's you.
So, you know, at this point, my creative juices are with, you know, trying to finish Minecraft with the two littles. So, and we're not even close.
Now you're close.
Nah, we're not even close.
You seem like some more Ender Pearls.
Yeah, some like isn't all. So, all right, enough of this. All right, you want to get in touch with us? Website is fearshop.com. Voicemail 215-798-0190. Email is podcast@fearshop.com. Make sure you're checking out the episodes in your podcast player of choice. Make sure you're checking out the YouTube channel. It's /fearshop.com. What went out this week? It was, franchise breakdowns of Halloween and Friday the 13th. And next up, I think, was Night of the Living Dead deep dive, maybe? I forget. I've recorded a whole bunch of episodes now. It's just editing and putting them out. So, all right. Until the next episode, this is Mike and Xavier.
Goodbye.
All right. Thanks, everyone. Keep it hard.
Today is his birthday.
The power of Christ compels you! The power of Christ compels you!